The following program is for informational purposes only and is not a recommendation to buy or sell Bitcoin or any particular investment or product, nor a recommendation to pursue any particular purchase or investment strategy. The brands, opinions, advertisements, and recommendations expressed by this program are the opinions and recommendations of the individuals creating the show and not the LTB Network.
Call your friends and gather around your speaker or share a headset because today we have a very important broadcast. What we will talk about today will impact not only your financial freedom, but your personal freedom as well. This is the future. This is Bitcoin. This is the Mad Money Machine. Dave Ramsey, listeners, stay right there. This show applies to you too. Welcome listeners from KCAA in Southern California, 1050 on the AM dial. I'd like to thank Adam B. Levine of Let's Talk Bitcoin for making this one of the first ever radio shows about Bitcoin. Welcome everybody. My name is Paul Boyer. This is the Mad Money Machine. And if you've never heard of Bitcoin before, this show is for you. If you're an expert in Bitcoin, believe it or not, this show is for you too. We're going to break it all down within the next hour on the Mad Money Machine. Bitcoin is to money what email is to letters. Bitcoin will do for finance what the internet did for communication. Bitcoin has the promise to do wonders for your financial freedom as well as your personal freedom. You can either keep up with it or you'll be left behind. That's what this show is all about. We want to give you all the information, the current information that we have about Bitcoin, the state of the art in decentralized electronic peer-to-peer payments. Now, if for some reason you didn't get your friends in time to listen to this broadcast, there are several ways you can listen to it later. Go to kcaaradio.com and look for Mad Money Machine in the list there. Tuesdays, 2 o'clock, you can click the button to download the podcast or listen to it online. You can also go to letstalkbitcoin.com and find the Mad Money Machine there. And of course, you can go to my website, which is madmoneymachine.com. You'll find the show in there. You can also subscribe to the show for free in iTunes. And you can find Mad Money Machine on YouTube. There's several ways to get it. Well, I believe information doesn't have to be boring, dry, and dull. I believe we can have fun and entertainment, and I believe Bitcoin is no exception. On this episode, we will play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I'll also pull something out of the Bitcoin tool crib. It's the Bitcoin tool of the week. We will cover the latest headlines over the past week in Bitcoin. I'll take a minute to look at the Bitcoin market, and I will go to the Mad Money Machine voicemail line to answer your questions about Bitcoin. Call 571-366-7121. Leave your question. It'll get answered on the next show. Grab a pen or just type it into your phone right now. 571-366-7121. Call anytime, day or night, and leave your question. Well, you know, out on the internet, in Reddit in particular is where I've seen it, there's this little mini meme going around. ELI5. ELI5. Explain like I'm 5 years old some concept. So often if somebody's new to Bitcoin, they'll go out and they'll say, ELI5, how many Bitcoins are there? Or ELI5, what's another name? What's another altcoin that's out there? Well, here's a girl, 4 years old, that can explain it to you.
What is Bitcoin?
Decentralized cryptocurrency.
And how old are you?
4.
And who invented the Bitcoin?
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Very good. And how many Bitcoins are going to be made?
1,020,000.
21 million? That's right. Now, do you know any names of any other cryptocurrencies? No? Okay.
Like Litecoin.
Litecoin, that's right. Now, how does Bitcoin solve the double spend problem? With the blockchain, that's right. And how often is a block created, on average?
10 minutes.
Every 10 minutes, thank you. And what's your name?
Lorelei Green.
And how old are you?
4.
Okay, thank you, Lorelei.
Can I see?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, children are the future, and children are the future of Bitcoin. You know, that's the great thing about Bitcoin. You don't have to be 18, I guess, to be able to use it. You don't have to open a bank account. You don't have to get a credit card. You can be 10 years old and have a Bitcoin and be able to spend it to go out and buy things on the internet. Wouldn't it be great if we could teach kids the value of money by giving them a mill of Bitcoin and letting them go out to their favorite kids' website that might have some little trinket they can buy and judiciously spend their mill of Bitcoins? Let's switch things up a little bit now. The Motley Fool has been an investor's resource for several years now, and they have a video. And on a recent video, they answered a question about Bitcoin.
This comes from David Hamm, and the question is, does Bitcoin have a better chance of hitting $100,000? Or do you have a better chance of winning $100,000 from $1,000 worth of scratch-off tickets? David? Flex that those probabilities.
I know you did some probabilities. I didn't. But I think the lottery tickets have a better shot.
Really?
Of getting you $100,000. However, if I was offered $1,000 of Bitcoin or $1,000 of lottery tickets, uh-huh, I would absolutely take the Bitcoin because it has utility. I can use it. I can buy things with it. I can hold on to it for a while. The lottery tickets, they may just be worthless. I either get something or I don't. I know it's very slim odds. I think lottery would be a better chance, but I would much, much rather have the Bitcoin.
Look, by saying that I think Bitcoin has a better chance of hitting $100,000, that may make me come off sounding like some kind of wild, overly optimistic Bitcoin bull, which I'm not. But I do think Bitcoin has the better chance here, basically because the expected payout of most lottery tickets is in the negative 30 cents to negative 40 cents range.
So basically you pay a dollar and you lose 40 cents.
Yeah. So if you think about the possibility of turning $1,000 into $100,000 using scratch-off lottery tickets. Now, as another little exercise, I looked at the New York City's $1 Take 5 ticket. And just for simplification, I looked at the top payout, which if I got correct information here, it's a 1 in 529,200 chance to pay out $5,555. Mm-hmm. So that's one win. For one win, 1 over 529,200. So you'd essentially have to win 18 times of your $1,000 of tickets. You'd have to win 18 times in order to get your $100,000.
Right.
Do you know what that probability works out to?
Probably like 50%.
I'm not entirely sure what that probability works out to, but as best as I could tell going out into 30 decimal places, it looks pretty much like zero.
Zero, okay.
So that's why I'm saying that I think Bitcoin has a better chance of hitting $100,000, because I just don't think you're going to turn $1,000 in scratch-off tickets into $100,000.
But it's possible, maybe.
I think maybe it's possible. It's like, if all of the probability of all of the planets colliding tomorrow, all at the same time, I think
all the continents coming back together, was it Pangea?
Pangea, reuniting Pangea within the next 3 business days.
There you go.
There's probably some probability of that happening. I think there's about the same.
So you'd also rather have the Bitcoin?
Oh, I'd certainly rather have the Bitcoin. I don't buy lottery tickets. I have no interest in lottery tickets, particularly scratch-off tickets. Bitcoin, on the other hand, like you said, there is utility value. And like I've said before, that utility value can be in having a secure way to transfer funds, mm-hmm, not just in the, this is a currency, which I'm not sold on yet.
All right, cool.
Well, I think these guys vastly underestimate the difference between winning a lottery and Bitcoin going to $100,000. The odds of winning a lottery are just astronomical, whereas the odds of Bitcoin going up 100 times are the odds that Facebook succeeds, basically. Facebook did succeed. Facebook went to a billion or so users. Bitcoin's probably at a few million at most. If Bitcoin went up you know, a thousandfold in the number of users, well, there's it's no reason why the price of it couldn't also go up that much. Now, you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin, so you don't have to lay down $100,000 to buy one Bitcoin. Bitcoins are divisible down to 8 decimal places. The smallest unit is called a Satoshi, named after the mysterious creator of Bitcoin. If a full Bitcoin was worth $100,000, then a thousandth of a Bitcoin, or what we call a millibit, would be worth $100. And the next named unit down, which we don't often use a lot, would be called a microbit. And a microbit would be worth 10 cents. The odds of that happening, while fairly small, are not nearly as infinitesimal as winning the lottery. Just a couple of quick headlines before we get to the really big headline. FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, released two rulings this past week. The first ruling states that, to the extent a user creates or mines a convertible virtual currency solely for a user's own purposes, the user is not a money transmitter under the Bank Secrecy Act. The second states that a company purchasing and selling convertible virtual currency as an investment exclusively for the company's benefit is not a money transmitter. In the same vein, the EPA says that to the extent a citizen breathes the air solely for their own purposes, they are not in violation of the Clean Air Act. In January, central banks from the following countries issued warnings about Bitcoin: Lebanon, Malaysia, Taiwan, Germany, Hong Kong, Belgium, Indonesia, Russia, and Estonia. In other news, central banks from the following countries will be made irrelevant in just a few short years: Lebanon, Malaysia, Taiwan, Germany, Hong Kong, Belgium, Indonesia, Russia, and Estonia. Overstock CEO Patrick Byrne says he recently bought $1 million worth of Bitcoin. No word as to what he intends to do with all that Bitcoin, although we might expect that when it multiplies another hundredfold, he could be looking to pick up some nice commercial real estate in Lebanon, Malaysia, Taiwan, Germany, Hong Kong, Belgium, Indonesia, Russia, or Estonia. Let's go to the phones now. The Madman Machine Bitcoin voicemail line, 571-366-7121, and see what questions you have about Bitcoin.
Hi, Paul. This is Paul in Virginia. I've got a question about Bitcoin. How do I get started with Bitcoins? Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Paul. That's a great question. I know that we that have been in Bitcoin for a long while kind of take for granted some of the early steps that a user needs to do to get involved with Bitcoin. Here's what I recommend. If you don't know anything at all about Bitcoin, go to bitcoin.com. There's step one there is watch a video. It'll give you a very nice introduction to what Bitcoin is. Step two then, sign up to get a free Bitcoin wallet. You click the button there to create a wallet at an easy-to-use website called Coinbase, coinbase.com. Then step three, just like anything in life, you got to learn more. Explore and learn about Bitcoin. Buy and sell Bitcoins with any U.S. bank account. Start out with a small amount first, you know, pennies. Then accept Bitcoin with simple merchant tools. Read up with the latest issue of Why Bitcoin magazine. Support the Bitcoin Foundation, of course, and learn more about the project at bitcoin.org. And stay tuned and listen every week to the Mad Money Machine. Well, speaking of Bitcoin prices, let's take a minute to look at the Bitcoin market. I get Bitcoin statistics from blockchain.info, and I get prices from bitstamp.com. The most current price of Bitcoin in millibits is 81 cents. We have a total of 12.31 million Bitcoins circulating in the market right now. That equates to a market cap of right about $10 billion worth of Bitcoins in existence. The average time between blocks, 7.5 minutes. The total reward fee for miners per block, $20,250. And the transaction fees for block are down since last week, down to $49.79. The high price for the last 7 days at Bitstamp was 82 cents for a millibit, and the low price was 72 cents for a millibit. The hash rate has increased 28% since last week. That's your Mad Money Machine Bitcoin Market Minute. Well, let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of Bitcoin gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give a little background on their Bitcoin philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Episode 6 is Jeremy Allaire. In 1995, Jeremy D. Allaire co-founded Allaire Corporation with his brother, J.J. Allaire, creating the web development language ColdFusion. When Macromedia acquired Allaire in March of 2001, Mr. Allaire became Chief Technology Officer. At Macromedia, Allaire helped create the Macromedia MX, or Flash, platform. He left Macromedia in February 2003 to join venture capital firm General Catalyst. In 2004, Allaire founded Brightcove, an online video platform company based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He served as Brightcove CEO until stepping down in 2013. And today, Jeremy Allaire is a Bitcoin evangelist. Let's hear a little bit from him.
In the US, I'm actually encouraged by what I'm seeing. We spend a lot of time with a lot of different stakeholders at a state level, at a federal level, whether it be the Federal Reserve or the US Treasury Department or the Consumer Protection Bureau, to many, many others. And there's a genuine acceptance of the fact that this is a really disruptive and potentially highly innovative platform that can change the way finance works in the world and can change the way institutions, consumers, and businesses interact. We're all part of a very, very rapidly evolving, very significant global movement around digital currency. And I haven't seen a technology and an opportunity like this inspire so many people so quickly than I have here really since the very early days and birth of the commercial internet back in the early 1990s. And so that's incredible, obviously. And I think we're all believers in the ideals and the movement that sit behind Bitcoin of a global currency that can connect every person on the planet in a common and decentralized architecture to make financial services broader and more efficient for users and also increase financial privacy for individuals around the world as well. We're clearly on the cusp of something that I think none of us even can fully comprehend where it's going to go, and we're excited to just be a part of it and supporting it in a lot of different ways. Thank you.
Well, we are excited to have you, Jeremy Allaire, as a Bitcoin evangelist as well. Congratulations, you're the guru on Mad Money Machine Episode 6. Let's take a little look now at some more headlines in the Bitcoin world. This one comes from Wired Magazine. The Bitcoin ATM has a dirty secret. It needs a chaperone. When Mitchell Demeter and Jackson Warren opened the world's first Bitcoin ATM, which actually I prefer to call a Bitcoin vending machine. But anyway, they opened it at a coffee shop in Vancouver, Canada. It was an instant success. People actually lined up to use the machine, which processed about $1 million in digital currency transactions over its first month. But one day in November, a few weeks after launching the ATM, Demeter noticed something peculiar as he perused the machine's transaction data at his office across town from the coffee shop. At one point, the machine had voided 15 transactions in a row for no obvious reason. So he drove down to the cafe, and as he walked through the front door, he immediately saw the problem. A man was sitting next to the machine at one of the cafe's wooden tables, and he was holding a sign that read, "Don't pay transaction fees." This very human entrepreneur, you see, was undercutting the world's first Bitcoin ATM. As people walked in to use the machine, which was charging a 7% transaction fee, the man offered to exchange their money by hand at a lower rate. Well, Demeter booted this enterprising entrepreneur, and now he posts his own man next to the Bitcoin ATM, not only to protect the machine from such competitors, but to ensure that people can use the machine without problems. It's a typical Bitcoin story. It shows that although this digital currency is maturing, it's still very much a Wild West. There are countless holes in the vast system that is Bitcoin, and many people are looking to exploit them, both online and off. Well, the article goes on to talk about how they hired this guy for $12 an hour, Canadian, to sit there to help people as they use the ATM machine and also to kind of boot away these people that are undercut the transaction fees. I don't know what they would do if some guy stands outside the shop with a sign, but it's another example of creative destruction, right? Well, there's a big perk that this guy gets for working there. He can convert his cash into Bitcoins for free. Well, that's the first Bitcoin ATM in the world. There are several others that are popping up all across the globe. Look for one in your town soon. Now, before we get to the major headlines this week, I want to talk about the biggest headline, and that was we had an SOTU this past week, not an STFU, an SOTU, State of the Union Address. You know, I actually did not listen to the State of the Union Address. I did read the State of the Union Address, and I've got to say, from my perspective, I think there should have been some changes in that State of the Union Address. I think it should have been presented differently, and especially for us, the interested Bitcoin users, the people concerned about our financial freedom and our personal freedom, the State of the Union should have sounded a little bit more like this. Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, my fellow Americans. Today in America, a child bought the tools she needed to participate in the information age without a bank account or a credit card. A farm worker preparing for the spring sent some of his hard-fought earnings back to his family abroad with a fee of only 7 cents. An entrepreneur flipped on the lights in her tech startup and did her part to add to the hundreds of new jobs that the Bitcoin economy has created over the past 4 years. A merchant in a quiet back alley shop accepted payment for his goods without fear of his cash register being robbed or his customers reversing the charges on their purchase. And in tight-knit communities across America, fathers and mothers will tuck in their kids, put an arm around their spouse, and give thanks that an era of financial repression, cronyism, and extortion is finally coming to an end. Tonight, this chamber speaks with one voice to the people we represent. It is you, our citizens, that use Bitcoin, who make the state of our union strong. Here are the results of your efforts. The lowest transaction fees the internet has ever seen. A booming market for micropayments. A tech sector that is adding jobs for the first time since the 1990s. And for the first time in over a decade, business leaders around the world have declared that China is no longer the world's number one place to invest in Bitcoin. America is. That's why I believe this can be a breakthrough year for America. After 5 years of grit and determined effort, we are better positioned for the 21st century than at any other time in history. The question for everyone in this chamber, running through every decision we make this year, is whether we are going to help or hinder this progress. For several years now, this town has been consumed by a rancorous argument over the proper size of the federal government. It's an important debate, one that dates back to our very founding, but when that debate prevents us from preserving the most basic freedoms of our citizens, when our differences allow government to read our emails or threaten the rise of decentralized peer-to-peer payment networks in the United States, then we are not doing right by the American people. As president, I'm committed to making Washington work better and rebuilding the trust of the people who sent us here. I'm also committed to ending excessive regulation that stifles innovation for Bitcoin and other digital currencies. We will unleash an entrepreneurial flurry in America that the world has not witnessed before. Today, after 5 years of progress, Bitcoin is at the cusp of ushering in a new era of finance, an era that will upend many fossilized institutions and overturn businesses stuck in the mud of their outdated ways. As Joseph Schumpeter wrote in 1942, capitalism is by nature a form or method of economic change, and not only never is, but never can be stationary. The fundamental impulse that sets and keeps the capitalist engine in motion comes from the new consumers' goods, the new methods of production or transportation, the new markets, the new forms of industrial organization that capitalist enterprise creates. Schumpeter went on to say that this change illustrates the same process of industrial mutation that incessantly revolutionizes the economic structure from within, incessantly destroying the old one, incessantly creating a new one. This process of creative destruction is the essential fact about capitalism. It is what capitalism consists in and what every capitalist concern has got to live in. In Schumpeter's vision of capitalism, innovative entry by entrepreneurs was the disruptive force that sustained economic growth. Even as it destroyed the value of established companies and laborers that enjoyed some degree of monopoly power derived from previous technological, organizational, regulatory, and economic paradigms. We have the chance right now to embrace Bitcoin and beat other countries in the race for the next wave of high-tech jobs. That is why I am announcing tonight that I will issue an executive order effective immediately that it removes all hindrances to engaging in Bitcoin commerce. From antiquated money laundering regulations to Know Your Customer directives to restrictions from FinCEN or the SEC, from the IRS to NIST, I am hereby revoking any and all executive branch laws, rules, regulations, and standards. I am directing all law enforcement institutions under my purview to cease any and all compliance and enforcement efforts. We will unleash the floodgates of innovation, the likes of which the world has never seen. We know that the nation that goes all in on innovation today will own the global economy of tomorrow. This is an edge America cannot surrender. Today, women make up about half of our workforce, but they still make 77 cents for every dollar a man earns. That is wrong. And in 2014, it's an embarrassment. A woman deserves to be paid in Bitcoin, not dollars. It's time to do away with workplace pay policies that belong in a Wall Street Week episode. This year, Let's all come together. The Congress, the White House, and businesses from Wall Street to Main Street, to give every woman the type of pay she deserves, because I firmly believe that when women succeed, America succeeds. Now, women hold a majority of jobs that don't pay enough to buy the things they need to support their families, but they're not the only ones stifled by inflation. Americans overwhelmingly agree that no one who works full-time should ever have to raise a family in poverty. Dollars are able to purchase less and less each year due to the incompetent manipulation by the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury in cahoots with the major banks. That is why tonight I am asking all Americans, all business owners, all teachers, all first responders, and all of our heroes coming home from abroad to embrace Bitcoin. To accept it as a form of payment for their salaries. To seek out merchants that accept it, and especially those that keep their earnings in Bitcoin. We will grow the Bitcoin economy. We will switch from the inflating dollars as quickly as possible. Since the number of Bitcoins that will ever be created is limited, the value of Bitcoin can only rise as its adoption rises. Rising Bitcoin values will do much to lift struggling workers out of poverty and lead to a more prosperous society. To further promote a strong currency, I am asking Congress to draft a new amendment to the U.S. Constitution that authorizes Bitcoin to be used as a legal tender in the United States. We have been negligent in adhering to the gold standard for over 40 years. I'm asking that we not only reinstate gold, but in this age of electronic commerce, that we embrace Bitcoin, the form of electronic gold that is adapted for the 21st century. I envision a day when every business that accepts a dollar will also accept a millibit for payment. Let's do more to help Americans save for retirement. Today, most workers don't have a pension. A Social Security check is neither secure nor socially acceptable. And while the stock market has doubled over the last 5 years, that doesn't help the folks who don't want to participate in the broker's manipulation schemes. That is why tomorrow I will direct the Treasury to create a new way for working Americans to start their own retirement savings, the Bitcoin RA. It's a new form of saving that encourages folks to build a nest egg. Bitcoin RA is completely untouched by any government, federal, state, county, city, or homeowners association. All earnings placed in any Bitcoin RA wallet will remain untaxed forever. No income taxes, no estate taxes, no sales taxes, no export taxes, not even any network usage fees. No taxes or fees of any kind ever on any Bitcoin-related transactions. My fellow Americans, no other country in the world does what we do. On every issue, the world turns to us, not simply because of the size of our economy, but because of the individual freedom we stand for and the burdens we bear to secure it. And we all continue to honor and support our remarkable families. Let me tell you about one of those families I've come to know. I first heard about Jason King of Sean's Outpost from the Let's Talk Bitcoin show. Jason founded this homeless outreach center in Pensacola, Florida, which in the beginning provided 50 meals to the local homeless community once a week. Once they began accepting Bitcoin donations, they now provide 900 meals a week to the local homeless community in 9 different servings. The generosity didn't stop there. With Bitcoin pouring in, Jason has been able to start the Bitcoin Homeless Outreach Center and also build Satoshi's Forest, a 9-acre live-in sanctuary for the area's homeless. We want Sean's Outpost and Satoshi Forest to be a sandbox for testing out bold ideas that could really make a difference on poverty, Jason says. He says Bitcoin allows you to tell your story to the whole world, and the people that agree with you, that want to come to your aid with their treasure, can do just that in a fraction of a second from anywhere on the planet. At no time in all of history has that been possible. But it is now, and it is frictionless. That is why it has been so powerful for Sean's Outpost. That is why it will change everything. Well, Jason is here tonight, and like the people he loves, like the community he serves, Jason never gives up, and he does not quit. My fellow Americans, men and women like Jason remind us that America has never come easy. Our freedom, our democracy, has never been easy. But now we've been given the chance and hope for a brighter future. By embracing Bitcoin, we will create the kind of America we want for our kids. A rising America where honest work is plentiful and businesses are strong. Where prosperity is widely available. An opportunity for all lets us go as far as our dreams and toil will take us. None of it is easy. But if we work hard, if we summon what is best in us, with our feet planted firmly in today, but our eyes cast towards tomorrow, I know it's within our reach. Believe it. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Yep, that's the speech I would have liked to have heard, the State of the Bitcoin Union. Some key themes there: personal freedom instead of collective efforts, power to the people instead of the government, and innovation that could run rampant and ignite our economy. I do believe that stripping away regulation that stifles innovation could lead to a massive economic flurry of activity in this great country. Why don't we do it? I'm Paul Boyer, and this is the Mad Money Machine. I need your support to continue doing this show. Do 2 things for me, if you would. Send a tweet, including at Mad Money Machine, saying you like the show, and then go to madmoneymachine.com and find a way to generously support this show. Time now to pull something out of the Mad Money Machine Bitcoin Tool Crib. It's the Bitcoin Tool of the Week. The past couple of shows, I've talked about how it's difficult to give somebody your Bitcoin address. The Bitcoin address is what you need to receive payments. The Bitcoin address is a long string of letters, uppercase, lowercase, numbers. It's almost impossible to read to somebody. Last week, I tried to convert it to poetry. Well, this week, a user out on Reddit alerted me to 4 different services that all do effectively the same thing. They are Bitcoin address shorteners. Now, much like URL shorteners that exist out on the internet that can turn a very long web address into a very short string of characters, these Bitcoin address shorteners are effectively the same thing. Here are the 4 that they made me aware of. First, bitcoins.pw, and then if you add /mmm, that's my donation address. Second, shortcoin.io, and if you add /mmm, that's my Bitcoin donation address. Third one, shortco.in, and if you add /mmm, that's my Bitcoin donation address. And the 4th one, BTC ADDR.ES. And if you add /MMM, that's my Bitcoin donation address. Well, to use these tools to give someone your easy-to-remember Bitcoin address, simply go to those websites. You'll enter in, you'll copy and paste in the Bitcoin address that you want to receive payment on, and then you'll type in a shortcut name like I did. I did MMM for each one of those. Then you give someone that short address. They can go to that address using their web browser, and then they can copy and paste your full string Bitcoin address into their web wallet or their Bitcoin wallet in order to send you payment or donation. Well, there you have it. Four great tools for shortening Bitcoin addresses. And like the best things in life, they're free.
The best things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Knock him out. That's what I want.
Well, I'm Paul Boyer, and you're listening to the Mad Money Machine. Let's listen now to Larry Kudlow of CNBC as he interviews Mary Thompson, who went to the New York hearings about the BitLicense scheme that they were trying to cook up in New York State last week. That was kind of interesting. As the camera was showing the people giving their testimony, you could see way in the back, Mary was sitting there at times looking very bored, sometimes with her head in her hands, wishing she could just get out of the place.
A lot of people out there want to get rid of the dollar and go to Bitcoin as a currency. Sorry, I say they're nuts. It's not real money. We need to remember Bitcoin can also be abused. Two prominent Bitcoiners indicted today. For all the story on that, we bring in our own Mary Thompson, who joins us with the details. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, Larry. One of those charged in the $1 million money laundering scheme is 24-year-old Charlie Schrem, a Bitcoin entrepreneur, CEO of the now-defunct Bitcoin exchange BitInterest.
Okay, it's not Bit Interest. It was Bit Instant.
And vice chairman of the advocacy group, the Bitcoin Foundation. CNBC interviewed him last April at a nightclub he'd invested in that accepted Bitcoin.
With Bitcoin, the payments are irreversible, they're instant, they're private. The fee is less than 1% to accept it, as opposed to 5% on credit card fee. And we get their money the next day in our bank account, in dollars. No currency risk at all. It's cash with wings.
According to charges filed by U.S. Attorney Preparara, Schrem knowingly helped an underground Bitcoin exchange operated by 52-year-old Richard Faea funnel Bitcoins to people looking to buy drugs on the now-closed website Silk Road. Shut down by the feds last fall, Silk Road only accepted Bitcoin for the drugs and other illicit services it sold online. Through his company, BitInterest, Schrem's...
Not BitInterest, BitInstant.
Company BitInterest, Schrem sold the Bitcoins to Faea, who in turn sold them to Silk Road customers. Schrem himself allegedly bought drugs on Silk Road and is also charged with failing to alert the feds as to what Faea was doing. Now offline, BitInterest...
BitInstant.
...had two high-profile backers, the Winklevoss twins, Tyler and Cameron, of Facebook fame, who put $1.5 million into the venture. In a statement, the twins said that the BitInterest...
Okay, she's getting a little flustered here now because what she's reading is different than what she's saying.
That when we invested in BitInstant in the...
She got it! BitInstant!
That when we invested in BitInstant in the fall of 2012, its management made a commitment to us that they would abide by all applicable laws and we expected nothing less. Larry, this should make for some interesting conversation tomorrow. Keep in mind the New York Department of Financial Services is holding a two-day hearing on Bitcoin and we'll be there.
All right, I think it's a great story. You know, listening to Schrem, Mary, on that interview, last April, I didn't even know this. He said there's no currency risk. He's nuts. He's out of his mind.
No, he's not, and you'll find out why in just a second.
The way the price of Bitcoin fluctuates, you know, you can go to the Super Bowl on Sunday, and you think you're buying a hot dog for whatever you're buying it for, $5. By the time the transaction over, the Bitcoin currency has collapsed so badly, the hot dog may cost you $50. And that's the problem. It's not a real median of exchange. It's not backed by gold or commodities or even the U.S. government. I mean, I don't have any problem with people investing in Bitcoin. My problem is it's not money. And ordinary people should not be fooled into thinking it's money. It has no value.
No, and I think everyone, even the major proponents of Bitcoin, say this is still a very risky investment at this point. One thing that Shrem was pointing out is that if you gave the Bitcoin at that moment, whatever it was at that exact moment, that's what you would pay for it. That's why he was saying there was no currency risk, meaning...
See...
that if you knew what the price of it was at that very moment, it wasn't going to change by the time it was delivered to the person to whom you were giving the payments. That's what he meant with that. Now, some people, Larry, while it may not be a replacement currency, a lot of people do think that it may have some kind of potential as a payment system because funds could be transacted more quickly and perhaps more cheaply than, let's say, through a credit card transaction.
Well, all I'll say is you better transact the hot dog quickly because Bitcoin can go down in value. My second thought, Mayor, and it's great to see you. You know what? How about putting gold behind the Bitcoin? Now then it will be as good as gold, and then it might be more reliable than the dollar. That's what's missing from these guys. There's no backing for it. Anyway, Mary Thompson, thanks ever so much. Now, folks, wild up and day down on Wall Street. Me, I say investors, stay away from emerging markets.
And me, I say stay away from CNBC. Instead, stay right here with the Mad Money Machine, letstalkbitcoin.com, and KCAA Radio in Southern California. Well, last week on the show, I talked about the hottest currency, the hottest altcoin in the world, Ethereum, and how they were going to have a fundraiser starting February 1st. And no sooner did I say that than they announced on their blog, the fundraiser will not be launching on February 1st, and any attempt to collect funds at this time should be considered a scam. There have been some scams in the forums, thus please use caution and only consider information posted on ethereum.org to be legitimate. It's important to reinforce to all that only information released and posted at ethereum.org should be trusted, as many are likely to impersonate us. Well, there was a fascinating discussion on Let's Talk Bitcoin podcast show number 80 between the three major Bitcoin 2.0 innovations currently out there, including Ethereum, including MasterCoin, and including BitShares. A lot of interesting personalities in that room that have all kind of worked together on various projects in the past and are looking to work together on their projects in the future. I recommend you take a good listen to Let's Talk Bitcoin show number 80. There was an interesting article in the New York Post last week, January 28th, by Rich Calder. Feds will sell Silk Road's Bitcoins to retain value. Now, we talked about the Silk Road coins a couple of shows ago. We posited the idea that that would make a very lucrative target for the Chinese to try to hack and find that private key, because they hold about 144,336 bitcoins, and if you multiply that by the $800 each bitcoin is worth, that's over $100 million worth of bitcoins they hold in one bitcoin address. Well, the article says that the alleged operator of the notorious illegal drug peddling website Silk Road has agreed to let the feds sell off those 144,336 bitcoins that were seized off of the site out of fear the market for the booming virtual currency could soon crumble. Assistant U.S. Attorney Christine Mango and Ulbricht's lawyer Joshua Dreitel co-wrote in legal papers, quote, "The government and Ross Ulbricht agree that, due to the volatile market for bitcoins, the bitcoins seized related to Silk Road risk losing value during the pendency of forfeiture proceedings." Well, the bitcoins have skyrocketed in value since Ulbricht's late September arrest, from roughly $20 million then to $114 million as of noon Monday. Judge Paul Oetken on Monday issued a stay, delaying a decision on the forfeiture proceeding until Ulbricht's criminal case is decided. The decision allows both sides to move forward with plans to liquidate or sell the bitcoins in the interim and then stash the cash until Ulbricht's criminal case is decided. Well, the feds also seized an additional 29,655 bitcoins from the Silk Road server itself, which were not claimed by anyone. 2 weeks ago, those bitcoins, now worth about $24 million, were forfeited to the government in the largest civil forfeiture action ever involving bitcoins. And if you listen to that Let's Talk Bitcoin episode that I just mentioned, episode 80, they bring up an interesting notion. And that is, with so many people in the Bitcoin community opposed to the government holding this many bitcoins, it is technically possible, although not probable, but they mention it's possible that they could modify the Bitcoin code to reject any transactions coming from those two Bitcoin addresses, thus yielding the Fed's coins and Ross Ulbricht's coins completely worthless. Now that would be hilarious, but it would set a dangerous precedent. You know what could happen? That means that in any criminal case going forward, the government could then demand that the Bitcoin code be modified to turn off Bitcoins of other criminals. Now this destroys an essential feature of money called fungibility. A dollar should equal a dollar should equal a dollar, and a Bitcoin should equal a Bitcoin should equal a Bitcoin. It would be a dangerous precedent indeed to hard code into Bitcoin the rejection of a Bitcoin address, even though it'd be a lot of fun. Well, I have really enjoyed being with you today, making radio history, among the very first radio programs to be broadcast dedicated to the subject of Bitcoin. Thanks to Adam B. Levine again of letstalkbitcoin.com, and thanks to KCAA Radio 1050 AM in beautiful Southern California. This has been a lot of fun. This is Paul Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes Bitcoin to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next Tuesday, 2 p.m. on KCAA and on the internet. In the meantime, buy some Bitcoin, spend some Bitcoin, and donate some Bitcoin. Then replenish your Bitcoin. Also, can I ask a favor of you? If you found anything at all that you like about this show, could you tweet that and include @MadMoneyMachine in the tweet to help others find the show? We need to spread the word about Bitcoin, right? Hey, and the more people that buy Bitcoins, the more valuable yours become. And as your Bitcoins become more valuable, you'll be more likely to help me produce this show. I don't know if you realize it, but from the beginning to the end of this episode, it was sponsor free. That's why I'm relying on you to help support the Mad Money Machine. Go to madmoneymachine.com and make a generous donation, please. We'll call the Mad Money Machine voicemail line at 571-366-7121 to submit your questions that I'll try to answer on the next show. My website is madmoneymachine.com. Email me if you like, bitcoin@madmoneymachine.com. Facebook, Twitter, Reddit is Mad Money Machine. And for listeners on KCAA 1050, tune in to Let's Talk Bitcoin, 7 p.m. tonight, and again, 1 p.m. Saturday. Tomorrow, catch Ed and Ethan's Bitcoin Report. That's 7 p.m. Wednesdays. Then on Thursday, a great show, Bitcoins and Gravy, 7 p.m. And then next Monday, just like yesterday, Living Freely with Stephanie Murphy, 5 p.m. on Mondays. Well, if you aren't in the footprint of KCAA, go to letstalkbitcoin.com to find these and other great shows. Thank you so much. I'll see you next Tuesday.